Well, the Lord really wants us to understand more about His blessings in our life. I think that one of the reasons why is because oftentimes our focus really gets on the burdens that we're facing in life. And that is, as you journey through life, there's problems that burden our life down, and there's difficulties that come and struggles that come and all kinds of different forms, and we find ourselves sort of under a burden, and our eyes and focus just on that burden. And the more you look at it, the heavier it gets, the harder that it gets to bear, and the more complicated it becomes. And so every once in a while, the Lord just wants us to get our eyes on our blessings. As a matter of fact, we probably would do much better if we would look more at our blessings than we do at our burdens. And because God really has blessed us. We've been discovering some of the areas in which God has blessed us, whether it be the cultural blessings. You and I live in a nation that has been blessed by God. And not only that, but there are the material blessings, and that is that God has made sure, ladies and gentlemen, that we live on a planet where you and I have access to the material needs that we need for our bodies. And there are relational blessings, and that is that God has created relationship for us to enjoy and to be blessed with, whether it be within our families and among our friends. But I tell you, God has blessed us relationally. We discover that God has blessed us directionally, and that is, He's not left us without any purpose in life, but He's given us direction. And as you and I follow God's direction, it's the direction into even more blessing. But we've been focusing most of our time on the spiritual blessings that God has blessed us with. And that is, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 1 and verse number 3, that all of those who are in Christ have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And Paul seems excited about it in Ephesians 1, and he starts off that verse at, "Blessed be God." And indeed, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's worshiping Him, he's blessing the Lord because of all the spiritual blessings that God has blessed us with. And what that tells me is this, and that is, when you get to thinking about all the blessings of God upon your life, then the natural response is to bless God. And that is to worship Him and to praise Him. And I tell you, when you're in the middle of bearing a heavy burden, you need to be able to praise God right in the middle of it. And that's by just seeing all of these blessings, the spiritual blessings that God has blessed us with. Now, we've been looking at some of them. We've discovered right here in Ephesians chapter number 1, for example, there is our blessed position, that we are positioned in heavenly places in Christ, verse 3. Let me just remind you, there's our blessed election. Verse 4 tells us that God has chosen us in Christ. There is our blessed holiness. In chapter 1 and verse number 4, the reason why God has chosen us is so that we can be holy and without blame before Him in love. There's our blessed adoption in verse number 5, where He says He's predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Adopted us. Think about it now. Adopted as God's own children. There's our blessed acceptance in verse number 6, where the Bible says that He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Verse number 7 reveals our blessed redemption. In Christ, the Bible says we have redemption through His blood. There's our blessed forgiveness. That is, in Christ, we have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. In verse number 11, there's our blessed inheritance, in whom, in Christ, we have also, in addition to all these other blessings, ladies and gentlemen, we have obtained an inheritance. Now listen, I've been preaching on all of those different blessings that God has blessed us with, which leads us to chapter 2 and verse number 18, where you and I discovered over the past few services that God has blessed us with a blessed access. Look again at verse 18, "For through Him," that is Christ, "we both, as Jews and Gentiles, have access by one Spirit unto the Father." And then in chapter number 3 and verse number 12, we find that same truth reinforced, where the Bible says, "In whom," or in Christ, "we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him." So the Bible tells us here about our blessed access. Now, I started preaching about this a few services ago, and we discovered, ladies and gentlemen, it's talking about the fact that you and I now have access to God. That is indeed is true. That is, God has adopted us as His children, chapter 1 and verse number 5. And because of that relationship that we have as the children of God, we not only have an inheritance, chapter 1 and verse number 11, but we also have access to our Father. Just like a child has access to the parents, even so we also now have access to God. And it's only because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That is, that we can come to the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that that is a blessing from God that you and I need to be thinking about And that is this blessing of access to God. I said to you in the previous messages, we spent some time focusing on the fact of our access into the presence of God. Now, because of what Christ has done, you and I can enter into, we have the right to enter into the presence of God. We can experience God no longer separated from Him, no longer a barrier or a wall between us and God. But ladies and gentlemen, now we can enter into His presence. We also spend a little bit of time talking about the peace of God. In Ephesians 2, the Apostle Paul makes it clear that the reason why that we have access to God is because of this peace that our Lord has provided through the blood of His cross. And that is a peace that has broken down the walls between different people groups, and also that has allowed all of us, that is everyone, no matter what their background is, everyone who is in Christ has access to God because of this peace. We're no longer the enemies of God, but instead we're the children of God, and that peace that has been made through Christ's death on the cross is the reason why that we have this access to God. So we spent some time talking about the presence of God, and we spent some time talking about the peace of God last Sunday. And so this past Wednesday night, I began speaking a little bit about access with regard to our prayers to God. The Bible tells us here that in Christ, that you and I, ladies and gentlemen, have access into the presence of God in chapter 3 and verse number 12. And it's obvious in this passage that what He has in mind in particular is our access to God in prayer. Let me look at it with you for a moment. In chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse number 12, it says, in whom, or in Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Now skip down to verse 14 and you'll see this little phrase, for this cause. What cause? What I just read to you. That is, you and I just discovered that in Christ we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. And for that reason, for this cause, Paul writes in verse 14, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of this access that you and I have in Christ, it is for that reason that Paul says that I can bow my knees before the Father. In other words, that Paul is saying that's the reason why that I have access to God in prayer. That is, whenever Paul prays, he's not just saying words. That is, somebody might say their prayers, but he was entering into the presence of God through prayer. And that is, he had access to the Father in prayer. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know the reason why is because of what Christ has done for us. Because we are in Christ, we have access to God, and that access to God means, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I can pray. Now, there's a couple of words in verse number 12 that we need to define a little bit that helps us understand more about this access to God in prayer. I dealt with one of them Wednesday night, and that is the word boldness. That is, in verse number 12, again, it says, in whom, in Christ, we have boldness and access. And the idea of boldness, ladies and gentlemen, means this, that we have authority or we have the right to pray. That we have the authority or the right to pray. Like a citizen who has the right to come into the presence of their king, like a child who has the right to enter into the presence of their parent, even so, you and I have the right or the authority to enter into the presence of God in prayer. You can come before Him and you can pray. And we discovered this past Wednesday night the reason why. That is, it's all about Jesus. It's all about His personal sacrifice, His death on the cross. It's about His powerful name. It's about His priestly ministry that we spent some time preaching about. Our great high priest gives us access into the presence of God in heaven. You and I can indeed pray. We have the right to pray. We have the authority to pray. We have boldness. Now, there's another word here in verse number 12 that I want us to focus on for a little while this morning. That is, the Bible says not only in whom we have boldness and access, but notice that little phrase, with confidence by the faith of Him. That is, we not only have boldness in prayer, but we also, the Bible says here, that we have confidence in prayer as well. Now, we need to find out what that means, and John really helps us a lot with that. That is, the Apostle John helps us understand what it means to have confidence in prayer. He writes about this in 1 John chapter number 5. And so you can flip over there and notice with me what John writes to help us understand more about what this means. And that is, if I have access with confidence, that if my access to God is with confidence, what does that mean? Well, in 1 John chapter number 5, the Bible says in verse number 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. Those of us who are in Christ, Ladies and gentlemen, we have confidence, and here's what it is. Are you ready? 1 John 5, verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. And so the Bible defines for us here, John helps us understand what this idea is that Paul's teaching us as well about having confidence when it comes to our prayer life. That is, access to God with confidence means I know when I come and I pray to God, as long as I'm praying according to His will, the Bible says here that He is hearing me. He hears. That when I bow my knee before the Father, God turns His ear toward me. Listen, when I begin to turn my heart towards Him, He begins to turn His heart towards me. That when I open my mouth and begin to pray, or whether I pray silently in my own thoughts, that God, listen, His ear is bent towards me and He is listening to me, that I have an audience with my Father, that He's listening to me. Now listen, I'm not like that all the time. And I know that most of you probably are, but there are times when somebody might be talking to me and I am not listening very well. And as a matter of fact, I might be looking right at them and still not be listening very well. But if I'm looking at something else, I'm especially probably not listening very well. And the reason why is because, unlike most of you, I can only do about one thing at a time. Some of you are really good. You can do two or three things at a time. You can have one thing going on here and one thing going on here and another thing going on behind you, and you've got it all under control. I am not geared that way. And I do one thing at a time. And so if my mind is focused on one thing, my ears are not listening to another thing. And some of you guys probably know what I'm talking about. This is kind of the way that I am. And I know that about myself. And there are others in this room that know that about me very well as well. And so sometimes I'm not always listening. Somebody might be talking to me, but I'm not listening to them. And it's really embarrassing for me when I ask them a question that they just gave me the information to. And that really puts me in a bad spot, to be honest with you. And so I'm just not listening. But I'm glad God's not like that, aren't you? And that is, listen to me now, God, listen, when I turn my heart towards heaven, begin to pray, God has His attention on me. And at the same time, you might be turning your heart towards God, and He's able to listen to you at the same time. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, God is so much God that He's able to listen to the prayers of all of His people. As long as they're praying according to His will, God will hear. He sure does. And He's listening to us. And He knows what it is that we're praying. We have an audience with Him. And I love that. It encourages my heart. That is, I realize what a blessing that is. What a blessing it is, ladies and gentlemen, to have the audience of God, to have God's ear listening to me whenever I pray. That's something that you and I should not take for granted. We should not. What a privilege that is. And what a blessing that is in my life and your life as well. And we should be thankful to God and praising God, even in the middle of all of our burdens and trials and struggles, is we've got somebody to talk to. And it's not only just somebody, it's Him. And He's the one, ladies and gentlemen, who created the planet, made everything that is, and He's listening to me. That is, I can just call out to Him and He hears me. What a blessing that is. And listen, that's a bigger blessing than having a direct line to the White House. If you picked up your phone and called the White House and the President of the United States answered your call every time and listened to you every time, you'd go around bragging about it as though that's some kind of a big deal, that you have that kind of access to the President of this nation. But ladies and gentlemen, you have a greater access than that, and that is that you can call out to the one who created the world, ladies and gentlemen, and He is going to hear you if you're praying according to His will. That's what it means when the Bible says that we have access with confidence. Now I want to reinforce that for you. I know you know that already, but I just want to reinforce that in the Bible. And that is the fact that God is hearing your prayers, that you have an audience in the presence of the King as you pray. Listen to some of the Old Testament passages. Let's go back to the book of 2 Chronicles and just read that verse, ladies and gentlemen. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14, down there when Solomon is dedicating the temple, ladies and gentlemen, and he gets to praying and God gets to speaking. And here's what the Lord said, beginning in verse number 12. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night. He said to him, I've heard thy prayer. That is, I heard what you prayed down there at the temple. And the Bible says, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. And here's what he said, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Hey, Solomon, I've heard your prayer down there at the temple, and I've got a word for you. And that is, if the people of God down there in Israel ever get under in difficult times, that is, if I ever send hard times into your life, that is, if I dry up the land, if I dry up the crops, if I send pestilence and problems into your life, if you find yourself struggling as a nation, then here's what's going to happen. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, God said, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Hey, when you get at a time when you're under a burden and you got problems and God's allowing it to happen and He wants it to happen to humble you, then go ahead and humble yourself. If God's trying to bring you low, then get low. If God's trying to bring you down, then get down. If God's trying to cause a desperation in your heart for Him, then go ahead and be desperate for Him. And the Bible says here you ought to just humble yourself. And by the way, you ought to start praying. Hey, not just praying. The Bible says you ought to start seeking His face. And the idea of seeking His face is the fact that I need God to turn His face toward me. God, I need you to look upon me. I need you to see what I'm going through. And I need your help. I need you to notice me, to turn your face and seek His face. And if you'll do that and turn from your wicked ways as you're seeking God, God begins to reveal to you the wickedness in your life, then turn from it. Then God said, I'll hear from heaven if you'll do that. Humble yourself. Pray, seek my face, and turn from what you know is wrong and what you know is wicked. And God said, I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sin and I'll heal your land. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's anything that needs to happen around the world and in our culture and right here in our community, in our families, and in our church, it's this. It's the people that know, hey, listen, I know things are bad. I know things are tough. I know there's wickedness abounding, and I know things aren't right. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to humble myself before God, and I'm going to seek His face. And if there's anything wicked in me, I'm going to turn from it and not hold on to it, and I'm going to abandon all of that. And God said, I will hear, and He will. He sure will. Oh, listen, when you can bow before God and know that He'll hear, that's what the Bible talks about when it talks about having confidence in prayer. It's David that wrote about this as well. That is King David. The Bible tells us in 2 Samuel chapter number 22 and verse number 7. Here's what David writes, ladies and gentlemen. In 2 Samuel 22, 7, it says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. Listen to this. And He did hear my voice out of His temple, and my cry did enter into His ears. And as David said, I was in a time of great distress, greatly burdened, weighted down, and he said, I just began to cry out to God. And he says, I tell you, God heard me. And that is, my cry entered into His ears. God turned His ears toward me and heard my cry to Him. Listen to me now. When you get in a time of distress and all you can do is just cry out, then go ahead and cry out. The Bible says here that God, that your cry will enter into His ears. God hears that kind of a cry. By the way, you can read these same words of David in one of his psalms, in Psalm 18. He repeats this again. This is actually Psalm 18. We see it in Psalm 34 as well. Listen to Psalm 34. David, ladies and gentlemen, realized that God hears and answers prayer. In Psalm 34, in verse number 15, the Bible says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry." Oh, when God's people begin to cry out to Him, God's ears, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, begin to open up. God begins to hear the cry of His people. In verse 17, the Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all of their troubles." That is, out of all the things that are troubling and burden their life, deliverance is on its way. And the reason why is because the people of God are crying out to God, and God is listening. Oh, listen, that's what we're talking about, confidence in prayer. David said in Psalm 4:3, "The Lord will hear when I call unto Him." And He will. Hey, Solomon tells us in Proverbs 15 and verse number 29, listen to the words of Solomon, David's son, in Proverbs 15 verse 29. The Bible says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous." Those who are right with God, when they get to praying, then the Bible says that God hears their prayer. Not the wicked, but He sure does hear the prayer of those who are in right relationship with Him. They're His children, and He hears their prayers. Micah, in Micah chapter number 7 and verse number 7, listen to what Micah wrote. He said, "Therefore will I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation, for God will hear me." He's talking about waiting before God in prayer. Micah, the prophet, wrote about waiting before God in prayer. He says, "I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on waiting in prayer." Now listen, that's a little bit of a challenge for some of us, and that is when you get to praying, you expect God to answer as soon as you get off your knees. As a matter of fact, you're waiting for the answer right then. You're thinking, "Well, why didn't God answer?" Maybe you'll give it a day. Maybe you'll give it two. Maybe you'll give it till the next Lord's Day. Well, why isn't God answering right now? Well, listen to me now. God is trying to teach you not only how to pray, but He's teaching you how to wait before Him in prayer. And when God's people are waiting in prayer, what I mean is keep on praying and keep on praying and keep on seeking all that time, God is getting you ready to receive the blessing that He has for you when it comes. Indeed, it's true. Praying and keep on praying. David said, "I know," and Solomon said, "I know," and listen to me now, Micah said, "I know that God will hear my prayers." In Zechariah chapter 13 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "They shall call on my name, and I," God said, "I will hear them." I will hear them. In the New Testament, Peter wrote about this as well in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 12. Listen to what he wrote. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 12, "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." That's right. The righteous, those who are in right relationship with God, God is listening. As a matter of fact, it seems to me like that God is waiting for His children just to come to Him and talk to Him and pray. That's what confidence in prayer is about. That's what Paul is writing about. One of the blessings that we have is access with confidence. That is access to God, knowing that God hears our prayers. Not only does He hear our prayers, but listen to me now, God will answer our prayers. He answers our prayers. Listen, that's what the Bible says in 1 John 5. We know that if He hears us, then we're going to have the petitions, that is the prayers that we desired of Him. That's what confidence in prayer is about. God is hearing and God is going to answer. He's going to answer. You say, "How do you know?" Because I have confidence in prayer. Confidence means this, is that I know that God is hearing and God will answer. And that's the reason why that I'm praying. Now listen, if you get to really believing that, if you really believe that God is hearing our prayers and God really answers our prayer, it'll motivate you to pray. And so if you're having a problem getting motivated to pray, it may well be that you don't understand the confidence that we have in prayer. That is, it may be that you don't really believe that God is listening and you don't really believe that God will answer. As a matter of fact, if you get to looking real deep on the inside, you might find out you got some disappointment with God in your heart. You're just a little disappointed that God didn't hear and answer some prayer the way you wanted it to in your life, and things haven't gone the way that they have. And so deep down on the inside, you may not say it verbally, there's just sort of this attitude, and that is that it's not going to do really any good to pray anyway. It's not going to change anything. Then listen to me now. You might as well throw your Bible away, because the Bible contradicts that kind of belief. And listen, the kind of praying that I'm talking about with confidence is the kind of praying that says, I know that God is hearing, and I know that God answers our prayers. And listen, if you know that, it'll make you want to pray. When you get under a burden and get in a tough spot and you're trying to find direction in life and answers in life and you're trying to find out the will of God for your life and all of those things, it'll just motivate you. You know, I know there's an answer. And I know who has the answer. Listen, if you get up sick one day and you can hardly breathe and you're coughing your head off and you say, you know what, I know my doctor and I trust him and I know that he will prescribe to me some medicine that will help me through it, it'll motivate you to get up and do what you haven't done in a long time, and that is go to your doctor. And even so, if your life needs direction, and if you need help in the middle of life's burdens, and you know that God will hear, and you know that God, the Creator God, the God who's all-powerful and omniscient, if you know that He's going to hear your prayer, and you know that He's going to answer according to His will, then listen, you'll be motivated to get up and pray. If you really believe that. You see, we have to stop and look at what we believe about God. When it comes to our problems with prayer, what is it that I believe about God? Do I believe that God is distant somewhere up there and so busy that He doesn't care that much about the details of my life? Or do I believe that God eagerly awaits for me to come before Him and that He bends His ear towards me and He's listening as I pray and He knows all the details of my life and God wants to help me and God wants to bless me and God wants to work in my life and God wants to give me direction, but He wants me to come to Him and ask? Hey, you have not because you ask not. Just expecting God to answer your prayers. Now, this expectation that is expecting God to answer our prayer, ladies and gentlemen, this expectation is found throughout the Bible. That I'm trying to preach to you about, that is, when you look in the Psalms, you'll see it there in Psalm 91. Listen to what Psalm 91 tells us in verse number 15. Psalm 91 and verse number 15, the Bible says, He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Call upon me, God said, and I will answer. In Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse number 3, I love this verse, listen to it. It says, call unto me, God is saying, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call to me, and I'll answer you, and you'll see some things you wouldn't have seen otherwise. You'll experience some things you wouldn't have experienced otherwise. Hey, don't miss out on the great things of God that come through prayer. In Matthew chapter number 6, the Bible says this. It says in verse number 5, Jesus in on the Sermon on the Mount, He said, when thou prayest, be not as the hypocrites are. No, they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward, that religious crowd in the first century that loved for everybody to see them pray. It was nothing more than a display of themselves. But here's what God said. The Lord said, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. That is your secret place. And listen to this. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Here's what Jesus said. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Hey, listen, when you just get alone with God and you start praying in secret, nobody else, not your prayer partner, not your buddy, just you and God. The Bible says if you get alone with Him, Jesus said, and you'll pray secretly, God will hear and answer your prayer openly. And He will. I'm talking to you about the expectation of answered prayer. Here's what Jesus said later on in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7 and verse number 7. He said, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Go ahead, ladies and gentlemen, start asking. Go ahead and start seeking. Go ahead and start knocking. And Jesus said, listen, God will hear your prayers. Listen to me now. He'll hear you as you ask, and He'll know when you're seeking, and He'll listen when you're knocking. And listen, God will give to you, and He'll open up a door for you. He sure will. It's the promise, ladies and gentlemen, God is promising to answer our prayers. We can expect answered prayer. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14, that is, in the upper room. And in John 14, and verse number 13, it said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Chapter number 15 and verse number 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. In chapter 15 and verse number 16 says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask ask of the Father in my name, that he may give it, he'll give it unto you. In John 16 and verse number 24, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, ask and you'll receive, that your joy may be full. In Mark chapter number 11 and verse number 24, listen, ladies and gentlemen, to what Jesus said. Mark 11, 24, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. In the book of 1 John, John tries to help us again in 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 22 when he writes these words, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. For God's children, ladies and gentlemen, who are trying to walk with him, drawing near to him, and the Bible says whenever we pray, you can just expect that God not only hears, but God is going to answer your prayer. I hope you're starting to see a pattern here, and that is one of the great blessings we have is access to God with confidence, that is, knowing that God is hearing, that we have an audience with Him, and knowing that God will answer our prayers. Listen, you can expect answered prayer, and then notice with me for a moment or two longer, think with me about some of the experiences of answered prayer. I've been preaching to you about the expectation of answered prayer. You can expect God to answer your prayers, but I tell you, there are those who experienced answered prayer. Now, I know if we get to looking in the Bible, we'll see a lot of that, and if we were to do a lot of testifying, but I want you to notice with me just two or three experiences of answered prayer. I'd like for you to go down in the wilderness with me for just a moment, down in the wilderness and see God answering prayer in the wilderness. That's in the book of Exodus, chapter number 15 and verse number 22. Exodus 15 and verse number 22. Hey, God is answering prayer down in the wilderness. The Bible says in Exodus 15, 22, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. You remember the story? They crossed over the Red Sea and then the Pharaoh's army and drowned behind them. God brought them through the Red Sea. And the Bible says Moses brought Israel away. That is, after they crossed the Red Sea, they had a time of rejoicing, a time of singing, and a time of worship, and a time of revival and commitment down there by the shore of the Red Sea as the dead bodies of Pharaoh's army washed up. They were praising God and rejoicing in the victory that He gave them. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. Now, I want you to think about this, how ironic it would be, ladies and gentlemen, to pass through the water on every side, and then before long, you're in a place where there isn't any water. Well, that's the way life is, isn't it? Sometimes there's water everywhere, and sometimes there's not any anywhere. Sometimes things are going great and you're living in the victory, and sometimes you're scraping just to get through. Sometimes life is blessings everywhere. The evidence of God is all around you at the walls of water, standing at attention while you march through on dry ground. And sometimes all you have is just the dry ground and there's not any water anywhere. But the Bible says they came to Marah, and they could not drink. That is, there's water down there at Marah, but they couldn't drink it. It was bitter. It was poisonous. There was something wrong with the water. It was not fit to drink. Therefore, that's the reason why the name of it was called Marah. And the people began to murmur against Moses in verse 24, what shall we drink? They're upset. They're complaining. And ladies and gentlemen, they are indeed murmuring. And the reason why is because there's not any water to drink. Well, you'd be murmuring too if you didn't have any water to drink. As a matter of fact, what I found out about us Baptists, it takes a lot less than that for us to murmur. They were flat out upset. Things weren't going like they thought it was going to go. Hey, they thought after they crossed the Red Sea, no doubt it's going to be smooth sailing all the way to the land of Canaan. Listen to me now, it's going to be good. There's going to be soda pop and Little Debbie's cakes all the way there. Fun all the way. It's going to be like a carnival all the way there. Fun all the way and lots of food to eat. And it's going to be wonderful. And now here they are, ladies and gentlemen, just a short distance from where the Red Sea parted. And now they're dry and desperate. You see, why would God do that, ladies and gentlemen? It's because God wanted to show them some things. And here's what happened in verse number 25, just to get going on the story. The Bible says they started murmuring, saying, Moses, Moses, what are we going to drink? What are we going to drink? What are we going to do? They're coming to Moses. Moses, we got to do something. We're going to die out here. And he cried unto the Lord. Moses did. He cried out to God. And ladies and gentlemen, when he got to praying, you're talking about being under a burden. You're talking about being in a tough spot. And Moses just got to praying. And do you know God heard him? Here's what God told him. The Lord showed him a tree. God turned him around and said, see that tree? Which when he had showed him, he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them. Can you just picture with me this story for just a moment? That is, Moses bows before the Lord and said, God, I'm under such a burden. I don't know what to do, and I don't know where to turn to. We've been wandering along here for several days, not any water anywhere. I've got all these people. Listen, this is not just a small family. This is a big family now, ladies and gentlemen, of probably 2 or 3 million people and not counting all the cattle. There's not any water. I don't know what to do, and they're really upset. They're all mad at me. Listen, the whole bunch of them are mad at me and upset, and they're complaining, and I understand why. There's not any water, and I don't know what to do. God, I am in a tough spot. And God just says, Moses, did you see the tree behind you? God, I'm not worried about no trees. We need water. Hey, Moses, now I'm making all this up, but it could have happened. Hey, did you notice the tree behind you? God, I know there's a tree back there. I've leaned against that tree. I've prayed up against that tree. I know all about that tree. I sat under the shade of that tree. I know all about that tree. Moses, listen to me. Just pick up that tree, cut that tree, throw that tree into the water. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that the answer was right there all the time. But Moses couldn't see it until he got to praying. And when he got to praying down there in the wilderness, under such intense pressure, God heard him. And he answered. Oh, listen to me now. If you're impressed by the prayer that was answered in the wilderness, go with me down to the tabernacle. And that is in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 1. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a tabernacle, and that's where the people gathered to worship. The Jewish people gathered, and they offered their sacrifices, and they would go at certain feast days, and there came a time when they were gathering again down there at the tabernacle. And the Bible tells us that there was a particular man that went down there with his wives. He had a couple of them. And one of them, whose name was Hannah, was barren. She couldn't have any children. The other one had children, but Hannah did not have any children. And the Bible tells us, ladies and gentlemen, that as a result of that, she was under intense pressure. Society was putting pressure on her, and that is, if you couldn't have children, then you were considered to be unblessed and something wrong and not right with God. And Hannah was under the pressure not only of those in society, but also within her own family. And that is, the other wife of her husband, the Bible says, was mocking her and making fun of her, and there was pressure on her. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, she got extremely distressed. She was under great distress, got so depressed that the Bible says she wouldn't even eat. She was just crying all the time and would not even eat. Now, her husband tried to comfort her, ladies and gentlemen, but I want to say that it did not comfort, it did not work. So the Bible says in verse number 9 of 1 Samuel 1 that Hannah got up, and the Bible says that she went down to the house of God. That as she went down to the tabernacle, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul and she prayed unto the Lord and she wept sore. There she is. I want you to go down to the tabernacle with me just a moment, and I want you to stand beside the high priest, Eli. Just stand there beside him for just a moment. He's watching the area where people are praying, the courtyard where people are gathering and they're praying, and he notices her and he hits you just a little bit, gives you the elbow and says, look at that woman down there. And I see her lips moving. I don't hear anything coming out of her mouth. But she is real. There's something wrong with her. Listen, and her face is red. The tears are flowing. She's weeping, 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 crying, 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 and carrying on and carrying on and praying and praying and praying. And pretty soon Eli says, you know what? I don't know for sure, but she acts like she's drunk. You ever seen somebody get drunk and all they want to do is cry around? She just kind of acting like that. I think she is. You stay here, I'm going to go down and say something to her. Somebody, yes, you don't come to the house of God and act like that. That is, if you're going to come down here to the tabernacle, you need to be dignified when you pray. You don't need to be weeping and crying and carrying on and all that attention being drawn to you. We don't need that down here at the house of God. And he goes down there and the Bible says that he spoke to her and said something to her about the fact that she, how long have you been drunk? And you need to quit this drinking. And Hannah said to him, here's what she said in verse number 15. No, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I'm just pouring out my soul before the Lord. And the Spirit of God struck Eli right in the heart. And Eli said this. He said, go in peace. The God of Israel grant thee thy petition which thou hast asked of him. You say, what'd she ask? She asked for a son, a child. She said, Lord, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you. And this barren woman went home and conceived a child. Well, you know who he is, don't you? Oh, yeah. Well, the greatest men of God of the Old Testament came out of that experience. His name was Samuel. We went to the wilderness and heard Moses praying and saw God answer. We went down to the tabernacle and listened to Hannah pray, pour out her heart, and we saw God answer. Finally, let's go down to the battlefield where there's a war that's about to wage and listen to the man of God pray. The man of God that was conceived in the womb of that woman, Hannah, was born, taken to the tabernacle, left to serve God, and became one of the great men of God, Samuel. Let's listen to him. 1 Samuel 7, and then I'll be done. First Samuel chapter number 7. The Bible says, beginning in verse number 7, when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Here they are now, the Israelites, gathered together, ladies and gentlemen, at a certain location, the Israelite army, and I tell you, the Philistines have gathered to destroy them, and the children of Israel said to Samuel, listen to this, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us. Pray, Samuel, that he will save us out of the hands of the Philistines. So Samuel took a sucking lamb, offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord, and listen to this, Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord, he heard him on the battlefield. And God heard Samuel. And the Bible says as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and he discomfited or confused them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. And then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. On the battlefield, facing destruction against a greater military. And the people said, we need to pray. Samuel, please pray. And this man of God offered a sacrifice, bowed his heart before the Lord, And they began to pray, and God, ladies and gentlemen, showed up. Thundered a great thunder, confused the Philistines, and they were slaughtered on the battlefield. Here's what I want you to see. You say, well, God really blessed them that day, didn't he? He blessed Samuel and Israel that day. And ladies and gentlemen, it's the same blessing that you and I have as well. It is our blessed access. Access to God in prayer. Even in the most difficult of times, we can pray with confidence, knowing that God will hear and God will answer. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word and your people and what you're saying to us and how you're working in us. God, I pray, Father, that you speak loudly to our hearts in these moments, that God, you'll raise up some men and women of God, Father, who'll be willing to bow their knees and their hearts and their lives to you and seek you in prayer, Father, God, so we can see the mighty hand of God and your power and presence among us today. God, I thank you for what you're going to do. Pray for your direction. Pray for those who are lost, who've never been saved, that you draw them to yourself. Save them by your grace today. And we're going to give you the praise for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.